right, as we continue into the second hour of the broadcast, and we should be on WBCQ shortwave as well, 7.415, and welcome listeners as well. Most important to connect to this show and Melody Cederstrom, Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 800-375-4188 is the number for Melody Cederstrom and Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Support her, and you will support this broadcast, and we will continue and expand however we can with your support. 800-375-4188 is the number. That's 800-375-4188, Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm going to pick up where I left off regarding this situation of this chemtrail war that's going on. And just bear with us, listeners, on shortwave, and I'll pick it up on the last paragraph. For the last decade, the official government response to inquiries about the jet contrails appearing across the continent is to attribute the phenomenon to increased commercial air traffic. In 1997, the Christian Science Monitor reported, the government's claim that jet contrails were actually causing clouds to form. Yet, in the month after the attack on the World Trade Center, there was very little commercial air traffic, the commercial airline traffic, and virtually no private civilian air flights. Still, white jets billowing lingering plumes frequently appeared in the skies over Columbus. And a live reporter, that's Columbus Alive reporter, using high-quality binoculars, could see that some of the white planes had orange markings. In addition to Stratotankers, KC-10 extenders, another refueling plane, appeared to be used for spraying. There's nothing new about these sightings. It may seem to be the stuff of the X-Files, like style paranoia, or grist for conspiracy theorists and skeptics like Jay Reynolds, writing at goodsky.homeland.com, have made through attempts to debunk the theories. But as chemtrail sightings become more common, mainstream scientists and the mainstream press are taking note. One scientist familiar with chemtrail experiments even agreed to speak with Columbus Alive, though he refused to allow his name to be used, saying that public disclosure of the experiments is inevitable and may be imminent. The Canadian Ottawa Citizen reported, a, quote, fervor over chemtrails, end quote, on May 16th, quote, what one sees, here reflects sightings across North America, end quote. The Citizen noted, quote, West Quebec Post publisher Fred Ryan reports that his readers have been photographing and comparing them, and other such manifestations are listed on the web, end quote. Quote, ground fallout from the chemtrails analyzed in the United States contained carcinogens and bacteria. Coincidentally, in the past decade, most jet fuel was re-engineered to reduce fire hazards by adding a long-banned pesticide, which was reportedly also found in gel samples from chemtrails. Also found were toxic microfibers, much finer than asbestos, end quote, the Citizen wrote. Chemtrail sightings have been reported in 14 NATO nations. Investigative reporter William Thomas notes that, quote, Croatian chemtrails began the day after that country joined NATO, end quote, which begs one simple question, why? Explanations range from chemtrails use in military communications applications to scientific experiments designed to control the weather, thwarting global warming, or relieving droughts. A scientist working at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, who insisted on anonymity, told Columbus Alive that two different secret projects have been conducted. One involved... oh, boy. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Bear with me. Let me start over. I got too engrossed, and I haven't read this yet, but, you know, sometimes I tend to Well, let's just continue. A scientist working at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base who insisted on anonymity told Columbus Alive that two different secret projects have been conducted. One involved cloud creation experiments to lessen the effect of global warming. The other involved radiation reflection off clouds in conjunction with the military's high-frequency active auroral research program, HARP, in Alaska. The scientist claims that the two most common substances being sprayed into chemtrails are aluminum oxide and barium stearate. When you see planes flying back and forth, marking parallel lines, X patterns, and grids in a clear sky, that's aluminum oxide, according to the scientists. The goal is to create an artificial sunscreen to reflect solar radiation back into space to alleviate global warming. Oh, man. And you see why I was hesitant in giving that to you? See, we can't possibly get to the bottom of much of anything until we get to the bottom of what HARP's all about. And that is my feeling about all this. And my concern is where does it stop? Where does it stop? And I'll read a few more paragraphs and then I'll move on. The scientist claims that the two most common substances, in some cases, barium may be sprayed in a similar manner for the purpose of high-tech 3D radar imaging. Quote, once again, high-tech 3D radar imaging. The barium can be used for a wire to shoot an electromagnetic beam through to take 3D images of the ground far over the horizon, end quote, according to the scientists. Thomas, writing the November-December 2001 issue of Nexus, New Times Magazine, essentially confirmed this assessment of the activities of the Dayton Air Base, quote, the barium spread in exercises conducted out of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base act as a electrolyte-enhancing conductivity of radar and radar waves, end quote. Thomas reported, quote, Wright-Pat has also long been deeply engaged in HARP's electromagnetic warfare program, end quote. Ken Caldera, a scientist at Lawrence Livermore Labs and one of the country's leading experts on weather modification, conducted the original computer modeling for the use of aluminum oxide to fight global warming. He told Columbus Alive, quote, we originally did this study to show that this program using massive spraying for weather modification shouldn't be done, end quote. Quote, due to negative health effects, Caldera said there are persistent rumors that the Bush administration will announce geoengineering weather modification projects this spring. Caldera sees this as political suicide. Well, there's certainly much more to this, but I am reluctant to spend too much more time on it, as there's much going on today, and this is a very interesting article. Stormy Weather, the Government's Top Secret Efforts to Control Mother Nature, by Bob Fritzkus and Fritz Chess, December 6, 2001. And you can go to www.columbusalive.com. That's columbusalive.com. And I would think that you could get the rest of this article. I think it's very, very important to know this. Keep in mind, on the website, on AmericanExpose.com, in the weather modification section towards the bottom, is Weather as a Force Multiplier, Owning the Weather 2025. It's a research paper presented to Air Force 2025 by majors and lieutenant colonels and people we've never heard of before, dated August 1996. And 2025 is a study designed to comply with a directive from the Chief of Staff of the Air Force to examine the concepts, capabilities, and technologies the United States will require to remain the dominant air and space force in the future. Presented on 17 June 1996, this report was produced in the Department of Defense School Environment of Academic Freedom, and in the interest of advancing concepts related to national defense. The views presented in the report are those of the authors and do not reflect the official policy or position of the United States Air Force, Department of Defense, or the United States government, apparently, it says. And the point is, it's very extensive, very lengthy, and it's there for you to peruse and research. But the point is, there's no debate on weather modification. There's no understanding of weather modification at this point in time. There's no approving it. But at this point, there's only common sense that has to tell you that things are being engineered to bring us into this totalitarian UN system that's being generated at us and on us. And that is a sad commentary to have at this time. With these people that are distraught as a result of the tsunami, they'll be vaccinated in the very, very, very near future. What are the vaccinations going to bring about? We're going to be vaccinated in the near future. There's state model health emergency powers initiatives to mandate vaccines for all of us. So these are things to be very, very concerned about, in my thoughts. Without understanding the picture in place, without realizing what's being engineered on us, people have a hard time believing what we try and say. And that's just the way it operates. That's just the way it works. That's just the way it's coming about. And it's a sad commentary to have this in place. It's most unfortunate to realize that the control of the weather and environmental modification and creation of earthquakes can be accomplished, is being accomplished. And for people not to realize this, well, it's working. The plan is working. And this is the point. As we learn more and more about what's happening, as we realize what's coming down, how do we get more people to understand what's being directed at us and on us? Strategic Alliance for Freshwater Information, Resources, and Education. Have you ever heard of them before? Safe Fire. Strategic Alliance for Freshwater Information, Resources, and Education. Sapphire. Once again, SAFFIRE, Strategic Alliance for Freshwater Information, Resources, and Education. Who is SAFFIRE? Well, it starts out with the UN Environmental Program, the UNEP, and the IETC, and then UNESCO Water, the WRC, the UEMRI, SANICON, IWA, IWMI, IIMI, GWP, IUCN, UNEPGPA. Where does it stop? Where does it continue? What is it all about? Totalitarian control of natural resources. Being destroyed by some, being controlled by others that are connected to the sun. The UWRM is the Urban Water Resources Management. And they want us to rethink global agreements on water, understanding the interlinked criticality of water, both freshwater and wastewater, has emerged globally only in the last few decades. This greater awareness has helped spawn a number of global summits, agreements, and norms that have explored the issue of water and larger, broader environmental processes. Issues that have come up as a result of these consultations include the promotion of a greater focus on water demand management and conservation within the framework of integrated water resources management, encouraging a shift from the supply-driven approach to meet demand on water to the demand management approach and greater efficiency to match available resources, promoting greater focus on pollution control policies within the framework of integrated water resources management to safeguard the quality of water and to maximize the safe reintegration of recycled wastewater into the water cycle as a non-conventional water source, reviewing water demand and pollution control experience across the region and identify and examine replicable strategies and models, and demonstrating the viability of water demand management and efficiency policies. Wow, what a mouthful. Holy blank, people. Well, urban water resources management is just part of this SAFFIRE process. And where do you start? Where do you stop? Where do you go from here? Where do you go from there? How do you get to the bottom of all this when it's so big and so extensive in 2005? And that is the point. The length of information and documentation is so apparent and so obvious, and the structure in place. In the meantime, your sons and daughters and fathers and mothers and boyfriends and girlfriends are off to the Middle East so they can come back and hopefully get a college education if they live long enough. That's the bribery in place for joining the military, a college education. What are you going to learn in college today? You're going to learn to be a good global citizen. You better believe it. And that's a sad commentary to have in this day and time. So we had 31 troops killed in a helicopter crash. U.S. helicopter crashed in a desert sandstorm in the early morning darkness Wednesday, killing 30 Marines and one Navy sailor aboard. Six other troops died in insurgent ambushes in the deadliest day for Americans since the Iraq War began nearly 2 years ago. Does that not anger you to no end? Does that not upset you that we're embroiled in another Vietnam that was promoted to happen someday in the future by people in the John Birch Society? That's right. After the conclusion of the Vietnam War, they said, it's going to happen in the Middle East someday. I remember, I used to read it. All these planned events. In the meantime, we have the International Water Association. Yep. Which is a global network of water professionals spanning the continuum between research and practice and covering all facets of the water cycle. All facets of the water cycle. Through IWA, that's the International Water Association, members collaborate to lead the development of effective and sustainable approaches to water management throughout the world. IWA creates value and drives the advancement of both the science and best practice of water management in cooperation with other similar international efforts. The ultimate strength of IWA lies in the professional and geographic diversity of its membership that includes academic researchers and research centers, utilities, consultants, regulators, industrial water users, and water equipment manufacturers. IWA members from each of these communities represent the leading edge in their fields of specialty and together are building new frontiers in global water management through interdisciplinary exchange and collaboration. Totalitarian control is a better word for what's happening in the very near future. And let me tell you, that's the best reason in the world to be living where I am right now, because the well water is very tasty. It's wonderful stuff. And I remember in California, the water was terrible. Ah! You had to buy water, and the only way to buy it and have it taste halfway decent was to buy it in glass bottles from Evian, which cost a small fortune. IWA's Asia Relief site has been launched. The first step, if you wish to help, is to register your contacts and create your IWA website user account, thereby indicating your areas of expertise relevant to the tsunami relief, and also upload a short biography that will enable them to broker your expertise and assist problem holders more effectively. This tsunami relief effort is going to cost billions of dollars, like I said the first day we came back on, and the IWA, the International Water Association, is part of this. It's a big thing. And the more you learn, the more you know, you need to learn more. So we're going to get this up on the website, SAFIRE, Strategic Alliance for Freshwater Information, Resources, and Education, and get that up as soon as possible for you to research and spread the word about that. Then you have the Sanitation Connection and Environmental Sanitation Network. We talk about emergency sanitation specific information regarding the earthquake and tsunami disaster in South Asia. And we can find that and get you information on this. The tsunami relief effort, which is well underway. And was it created? I'm convinced it was. Maybe you have other thoughts. I'm sure most listeners to this broadcast don't have other thoughts. But according to the World Health Organization, the WHO, regarding environmental sanitation in emergencies, they have a list of questions and answers, providing answers to some of the issues that come up most frequently in relation to water and sanitation in emergency situations. And it can all be accessed. We can all learn about that on your own time, because I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here at this point. But Sanitation Connection is something else that will be added to the website in the very, very near future. Lots to do, lots of information to cover, lots going on, and that is our big problem. There is an announcement that Saturday, January 29th at 6 p.m. This is in Grants Pass, Oregon. The Grants Pass City Council Chambers. You're encouraged to attend a powerful speech by Art Crino, seasoned speaker and council member of the John Birch Society. Learn how global organizations like the UN, WTO, NAFTA, and the FTAA are comprising to extinguish America's livelihood, erase our borders, and nullify our independence if enough Americans don't take action. And so this information is, let's see. You want to know more about this up there in Grants Pass, Oregon? It's a $5 donation. Very cheap. And it'd be nice to fill up that auditorium, because we need all allies that we can get to understand the big picture in place. You're encouraged to contact Damon at 541-866-2783. That's 541-866-2783. That's Damon at 541-866-2783. WBCQ, we're on there right now. Keep in mind, this broadcast is sponsored by Melody Cedarstrom and Discount Store Gold and Silver Trading. 800-375-4188 is the number. That's 800-375-4188 is the number for Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 800-375-4188. According to Environment News Service, dated January 24th, species are being lost globally at a rate of 100 times faster than the average rate during the Earth's history. A panel of prestigious scientists warned an international convention gathered at UNESCO's headquarters in Paris. They said tens of thousands of other species are already committed to future extinction because of the recent worldwide loss of their habitats. and we're the bad guy. But what kind of events are causing this to happen? What's going on with the aerial spraying? What's going on with the nuclear explosions under the ocean? You know? Dated January 24th from Environment News Service, the first blizzard since the April storm of 1997 has blanketed New England with a historic snowfall over the past 36 hours, ranked as one of the top five blizzards in history by the National Weather Service. The snow, high winds, and bitterly cold temperatures grounded planes at major East Coast airports, stranding thousands of travelers. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Here we see critics challenge White House clear skies proposal. This ought to be interesting. And it's from eMagazine.com. It's dated January 25th. By Roddy Shearer, according to a recently released report by the National Academy of Sciences, implementation of the Bush administration's proposed Clear Skies Initiative would actually weaken air quality standards for some large coal-fired utilities across the country, putting millions of Americans at greater risk from air pollution. And isn't that interesting? While existing new source review regulations and Clear Skies proposed Our proposal both call for reducing emissions of mercury, nitrogen oxides, and sulfur dioxide. The difference lies in implementation. The current system relies on public advocates to engage utilities in lengthy legal battles to reduce emissions. Meanwhile, Clear Skies calls for the institution of a cap-and-trade system whereby utilities could buy and sell the right to generate limited amounts of pollution. Amazing. Where is it going to stop?
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
This program on FirstAmendmentRadio.com is much more than entertainment. It is more like an information-packed audio magazine delivered direct to you. Like any magazine, if you don't want to keep getting it, simply unsubscribe by not listening. But you are listening, so now go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there to make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program. Not only should you subscribe for yourself, but you should give extra to help us spread the message of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Don't do Internet? You can also write us, First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Thank you.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab. If Congress approves the FTAA, our nation will be pushed down the same path that produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to StopTheFTAA.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on firstamendmentradio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at firstamendmentradio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the broadcast as we close it out, dated January 25th, 2005, listeners, and this is highly, highly predictable information. And this comes from eMagazine.com. According to environmentalists, are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? Are you holding on to your chair? Please do. The Indian Ocean tsunami that killed more than 200,000 people last December also wreaked havoc on the natural environment across all affected areas. Quote, the environmental damage has been huge, from the obvious and visible destruction along the coastal areas to the possibility of extinction of certain species, end quote, says Rida Sila, who directs WALI, a leading environmental group in Indonesia. Sila lists destroyed beaches, damaged coral reefs, polluted groundwater, loss of wildlife habitat, and salt contamination of farmland as major environmental catastrophes in their own right. Meanwhile, the Indonesian chapter of the Nature Conservancy has issued a similar preliminary assessment. Quote, initial reports indicate that the natural ecological system, such as coral reefs, mangroves, and wetlands, have suffered extensive impacts. Important research facilities for studying and monitoring these environments are reportedly also severely damaged, end quote. The United Nations has assigned a team of 12 analysts to conduct a comprehensive assessment of the environmental impact of the tsunami. But the group will not begin work for at least 2 weeks as rescue and recovery efforts are still underway throughout the region. Oh, yes, throughout the region. Apparently, WALI has a really big network here, and we're still looking for many missing activists. It hasn't settled down enough to think about the environment, in quote, Sully continues or concludes. Oh, just amazing, people. Just amazing. And once again, going to the website, AmericanExpose.com, from the World Heritage Treaty, 17 December 1975, Article 11, Section 4, many of you have seen this and read it. But it pertains so well, and it's so predictable, and I predicted this long ago. The committee shall establish, keep up to date, and publish whatever circumstances shall so require. Certainly this tsunami are circumstances that so require it. Under the title List of World Heritage in Danger, a list of the property appearing in the World Heritage for the conservation of which major operations are necessary and for which assistance has been requested under this convention. And you better believe assistance has been requested by these devastated areas as a result of this tidal wave. This list contained an estimate. This list shall contain an estimate of the cost of such operations. The list may include only such property forming part of the cultural and natural heritage as is threatened by serious specific dangers, such as the threat of disappearance caused by accelerated deterioration. Oh boy. Large-scale public or private projects, or rapid urban or tourist development projects. Destruction caused by changes in the use or ownership of the land. Major alterations due to unknown causes. Abandonment for any reason whatsoever. The outbreak or the threat of an armed conflict. Calamities and cataclysms. Serious fires. Earthquakes. Landslides. Volcanic eruptions. Changes in water level, floods, tidal waves. The committee may at any time, in case of urgent need, make a new entry in the list of World Heritage in Danger and publicize such entry immediately. You don't think any of this is going to be turned into a World Heritage site, do you? That is the sad situation that we live today. That is the scenario in place. Was it caused? Was it engineered? Was it made to happen? Well, go figure, listeners. Go figure. The mess continues. The mess is being engineered. I covered on the afternoon show today for Melody Cedarstrom and Discount Gold and Silver Trading on WBCQ information from the BBC regarding Tony Blair asking for a global consensus. There is an emerging global consensus on key issues such as climate change and poverty, UK Prime Minister Tony Blair has told the World Economic Forum. And his comments came in the keynote speech on the first day of the Davos meeting of business and political leaders. And Mr. Blair used his speech to stress the themes he wants to highlight during the UK's chairmanship of the G7 group of industrialized countries this year. Also on Davos' agenda are AIDS and dangers facing the world economy. Well, what's the creation of AIDS all about? A designer disease. And that's the sad commentary to have. Mr. Blair told a packed conference hall that efforts to deal with global warming would not mean drastic cuts in living standards, but in what correspondents said was a cautious speech, he warned the efforts would fail if they demanded actions that seriously threatened economic growth. Mr. Blair also noted that the evidence for global warming was disputed, an acknowledgement of the U.S. refusal to sign up to the Kyoto climate change deal. And that's a blessing, a very gigantic blessing. But the point is, why should we be involved in NAFTA? Why should we be involved in the WTO? Why should we be involved in the Free Trade Area of the Americas? Why should we be involved in any of this? Well, because we are the UN system. Our State Department implements the U.S. mission to the United Nations. You look at the State Department structure and you see the worldwide implementation of the UN system from the State Department, including the report on global anti-Semitism, which was released by the Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor from the State Department, January 5th, 2005. So you connect all these dots and you see that a major move is going on to destroy sovereignty, even though the UN says they're trying to retain Iraq's sovereignty in this invasion that went on, where Israel has weapons of mass destruction, and we never found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, but Israel has them. What is making sense and what isn't making sense? Is anything making sense today? When your sons and daughters and fathers and mothers and boyfriends and girlfriends are off to the Middle East for a college education once they get out, if they get out alive? What is making sense today? Is anything making sense today? Is anything working today? Is anything going to happen out of this besides totalitarian control and socialism under the guise of democracy and sustainable development and smart growth in Agenda 21, which is under full implementation all over the globe, Agenda 21? Dated January 26th, listeners, scientists debate climate change amid stark warnings. Out of Reuters, world scientists gather next week to discuss climate change crises threatening the planet amid stark warnings that the time for talking is over and action is urgently needed. But far from making any recommendations for action to their political masters, the scientists from 30 countries will review the state of knowledge and try to define just what constitutes dangerous levels of climate warming. Quote, we will try to come up with a consensus number on what should be a target. That is a job for the politicians, end quote, conference chairman Dennis Turpak said Wednesday. Quote, the purpose is to have a debate of the scientific facts. Well, wouldn't you like to televise it, Mr. Turpak, or Turpak, so we can all see this debate? They say they will collect the best information we have to give to the politicians, but don't expect to make any recommendations, end quote, he told reporters. It is a far cry from the fanfare with which British Prime Minister Tony Blair announced the conference last September, promising a cutting-edge meeting that would set the political agenda for his presidency of the Group of Seven Rich Nations. Scientists have said the 2 degrees centigrade of warming is already expected, with a major input from human activities like burning fossil fuels to generate electricity, which produces vast quantities of the greenhouse gas carbon dioxide. What about HARP? What about weather modification? What about weather engineering? What about creation of earthquakes? How can we get to the bottom of this, people, if those on the inside don't step up and say, hey, I'm sick and tired of getting my paycheck for the New World Order. I'm going to wake up America and the world. They also have warned that warming of more than that will start to fuel itself, pushing the planet into the unknown as ice caps melt, sea levels rise, and weather patterns change at accelerating rates, putting millions of people at risk. An international report this week said the climate was a ticking time bomb and urgent action was needed now to curb greenhouse gas emissions. One computer model predicted climate warming of up to a catastrophic 19.8 degrees Fahrenheit. Environment campaigner Tony Juniper of Friends of the Earth was upbeat about the meeting. Quote, a clear demonstration of a scientific consensus will send an unmistakable message to the politicians that they have to take actions on carbon dioxide emissions now, end quote, he said. The scientists from countries as varied as Australia, India, Sri Lanka, China, Communist China, and Japan will meet in isolation for 3 days starting Tuesday, just 2 weeks before the Kyoto Climate Change Treaty finally kicks in. A tiny step to limit rising temperatures, Kyoto aims to cut CO2 emissions by developed states by 5.2% below 1990 levels by 2008 through 2012. The United States, the world's biggest generator of greenhouse gases, has refused to sign up, and boy, are we bad guys. What kind of sanctions are going to be put on this country as we become more and more dependent on foreign food to come to this country? And what kind of a scam is in place? You know, you connect the dots for 8 years like I've been doing, understanding what's being maneuvered and manipulated. When you understand the 20th century and the loss of life, you connect the Congressional Medal of Honor as the highest award for valor in war to the upside-down five-pointed star, which is Lucifer's symbol. It's satanic. And here we see dated today, January 27th. Oh, my God. Listeners, can you hear this? Out of Davos, Switzerland from Reuters, the world needs an effort similar to that behind the creation of the atomic bomb to tackle the multifaceted threat of biowarfare, U.S. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist said Thursday. Quote, we need to do something that even dwarfs the Manhattan Project, end quote, Frist told the World Economic Forum in Davos. The Manhattan Project was the code name for the United States World War II effort to devise an atomic weapon. Quote, the greatest existential threat we have in the world today is biological. Why? Because unlike any other threat, it has the power of panic and paralysis to be global, end quote. He predicted that the world would experience another bioweapon attack within the next decade, following the limited casualties seen when anthrax was sent through the U.S. mail system in 2001. Next time the death rate could be much, much higher, said Massachusetts Institute of Technology Professor John Deutsch. Oh, my. Is that the same John Deutsch you're thinking about? An attack using the smallpox virus is overwhelmingly the largest target, he believes. The disease was officially eradicated 3 decades ago, but Deutsch said it was possible former Soviet stocks were still at large, or even that small quantities could be extracted from graves. Quote, every country has a vulnerability here, end quote, he said. In a bid to protect citizens, the U.S. government has ordered millions of doses of smallpox vaccine as part of a wide-ranging security drive in the wake of September 11, 2001 attacks. Other governments are also following suit in stocking up on smallpox shots. But experts warn that other avenues were open to would-be terrorists, with diseases such as plague and Ebola hemorrhagic fever virus options for weaponization. Oh, where is it going to end? Where is it all going to end, listeners? More worryingly still, sophisticated groups might in the future use genetic engineering to produce hybrid microbes against which there is no defenses. Francis Collins, director of the U.S. National Human Genome Research Institute, said such developments raise the question of whether there should be restrictions on publication of some scientific research in biology. Physicists are already limiting their sharing information on atomic weapons technology. Collins said openness was the best strategy, but he suggested there could be specific information about protocols used to create dangerous superbugs that might, in future, be classified. Call for new Manhattan Project to fight bioterror, dated January 27th from Reuters. Where does it end? Where does it stop? What is next on the horizon for all this that's happening to us and at us and on us? Days and counting. In another hour and 14 minutes, it'll be 19 days and counting. The mess is so gigantic. The Hegelian dialectic is working so well. As we learn more, we know we need to learn even more. And so the UNFCCC, the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, needs your attention. It needs other people to learn about this, what's going to happen in the future. What is it going to cost, ultimately, in jobs? That's the direction that is well underway at this point in time. Is the mess in place? I see so much being generated from the UNFCCC, and Russia saved it. Russia saved it. And that's the situation in place. I'm just at a loss at this juncture. Keep in mind, on 18 November 2004, the 90-day countdown to the Kyoto Protocol's entry into force was triggered by the receipt of the Russian Federation's instrument of ratification by the United Nations Security Secretary General. The protocol will become legally binding on its 128 parties on 16 February 2005. Now, the fact that we're not signed on to it, or we're not going to implement it, maybe we signed on to it, we're not going to implement it, is a small blessing, but there's no reason to think that we're not going to have to capitulate to this because of this UN machination that has brought it all about. The text of the protocol to the UNFCCC was adopted at the third session of the Conference of the Parties to the UNFCCC in Kyoto, Japan on 11 December 1997. You better believe we signed it. It was open for signature from 16 March 1998 to 15 March 1999 at United Nations headquarters, New York. By that date, the protocol had received 84 signatures. These parties that have not yet signed the Kyoto Protocol may sign at any time. That's the point. They can sign at any time. The protocol is subject to ratification, acceptance, approval, or accession by parties to the convention. It shall enter into force on the 19th day after the 90th day after the date on which not less than 55 parties to the convention, incorporating Annex 1 parties, which occurred in total for at least 55% of the total carbon dioxide emissions for 1990 from that group, have deposited their instruments of ratification, acceptance, approval, or accession. Who signed on to this Kyoto Protocol? Wonder if we can find that out. At this juncture, it's very important to do so. If you can find the Economic Policy Institute, you can see the impact of jobs and industries nationally and state by state with U.S.-China trade. You can see that from 1989 to 2003. The whole mess is well underway. Argentina signed on to the Kyoto Protocol. Let's take it all the way. China signed on to the Kyoto Protocol. Why would China sign on to the Kyoto Protocol? Communist China. Honduras signed on to the Kyoto Protocol. What is this going to mean to these countries? What is it ultimately going to mean in the end goal of this? And people, I'm trying to determine if we signed on to it, because I don't want to steer you wrong. Yep. Let's see. Ratification. No, evidently, there was a signature on December 11th, 1998. There was a signature. And so we did sign on to it, but ratification, acceptance, accession, approval, it hasn't happened. So I was right. It was signed on to by this country under the guise of the Clinton administration on December 11th, 1998. or maybe it was November 12, 1998, the way they play these games with the dates. And I'm talking about the UN system. But ratification, acceptance, accession, approval, we have not approved it. So there you have it. It's so big, and it's so monumental, and it's at this juncture we have something called Agenda 21 well underway. This Kyoto Protocol fits right into the dictates of Agenda 21, and you learn more and more about Agenda 21 as you read about it and research what it's all about, and we'll learn about the World Toilet Organization, learn about the whole situation that's being implemented at us and on us. And with your knowledge, with your learning, with your ability, with you spreading the word about this and getting it to your representatives, we can make a difference. The press release from Buenos Aires conference advances efforts to adopt to climate change and meet in Kyoto targets. That was dated December 18, 2004. And soon after that, what happened? Oh, my. A tsunami hit Southeast Asia. And lots of people are saying we need to ratify Kyoto because of that, which Senator James Inhofe from Oklahoma said, hogwash, it has nothing to do with climate change. Pay attention to Melody Cederstrom and support her, people. 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. She will be on doing the broadcast Monday night on the first hour, and Darren Weeks will do the second hour. The webmaster, the valuable webmaster for AmericanExpose.com. Good night.